ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೇ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 14, ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ ಎಂಟೈಟಲ್ಡ್ ದಿ ಐಡಿಯಲ್ ಫ್ಯಾಮಿಲಿ ಲೈಫ್, ಅಂಡ್ ಟುಡೇ ವಿಲ್ ಬಿ ರೀಡಿಂಗ್ ಟೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ 18. ತಸ್ಮಾತ್ ಬ್ರಾಹ್ಮಣ ದೇವೇಶು ಮರ್ತ್ಯಾದಿಷು ಯಥಾರ್ಹತಃ ತೈಸ್ತೈ ಕಾಮೈರ್ಯಜಸ್ವೈನಂ ಕ್ಷೇತ್ರಜ್ಞಂ ಬ್ರಾಹ್ಮಣಾನ್ ಅನು. ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಲೇಷನ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಪರ್ಪೋರ್ಟ್ ಬೈ ಹಿಸ್ ಡಿವೈನ್ ಗ್ರೇಸ್ ಶ್ರೀ ಎ.ಸಿ. ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ. ದೇರ್ಫೋರ್ ಮೈ ಡಿಯರ್ ಕಿಂಗ್, first offer prasad unto the brahmanas and the demigods, and after sumptuously feeding them you may distribute prasad to other living entities according to your ability. In this way you will be able to worship all living entities, or in other words the supreme living entity within every living entity. Purport: to distribute prasad to all living entities, the process is that we must first offer prasad to the brahmanas and the vaishnavas, for the demigods are represented by the brahmanas. In this way the supreme personality of Godhead, who is situated in everyone's heart, will be worshipped. This is the Vedic system of offering prasad. Whenever there is a ceremony for distribution of prasad, the prasad is offered first to the brahmanas, and then to the children and old men, then to the women, and then to animals like dogs and other domestic animals. When it is said that Narayan, the supreme being, is situated in everyone's heart, this does not mean that everyone has become Narayan, or that a particular poor man has become Narayan. Such a conclusion is rejected herein. It makes me a little odd actually to sit in front of senior Grihastha devotees like His Grace Anandavan Prabhu and attempt to speak upon some verse from this chapter entitled Ideal Family Life. But as a method of my own purification, I'll attempt to speak some thoughts which came to my mind. So while reading the purport, I was at once reminded of one story, actually not a story but a Vedic injunction, which Prabhupada mentions in one of the purports in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada says, it is a duty of a householder to feed first of all the children, the old members of the family, the brahmanas and the invalids. Besides that, an ideal householder is required to call for any unknown hungry man to come and dine before he himself goes to take his meals. He is required to call for such a hungry man thrice on the road. The neglect of this prescribed duty of a householder, especially in the matter of old men and children, is unpardonable. So this is a very striking story. In current day and age, you tell somebody, especially, you tell someone that you have to go out on the road and call 3 times, is there anyone hungry? If you are hungry, please come and honor food here. So one may wonder, what is all this? Is it practical in today's day and age? So, in another place, Prabhupada writes that there are so many rules and regulations just to train a man to become godly. They are not superstitious or superfluous. The human being should be trained to be godly because he is part and parcel of God. Prabhupada is writing in connection to this same injunction that these rules and regulations are not just superstition or superfluous. just something just for saying and not actually adhering to. Because he is part and parcel of God, he is given the chance to be trained. This training is given because someday or other the person may be Krishna conscious. So, while actually going through the entire Vedabase, I was just looking what will I speak. So I was very much looking at this particular aspect of feeding prasad to everyone without discrimination, in the sense that even this particular injunction where it is mentioned the person should actually invite anybody who is hungry to come and dine before that person individually sits down to eat his meal, honor prasad. So even in our Krishna consciousness movement, we have this concept where of jivadaya or compassion to other living entities. So I was looking for something related to this particular aspect of compassion to other living entities. And a very classic quotation, during my search it came up. Basically it was one of the offerings sent by the ISKCON centers all over the world to Srila Prabhupada as part of his Vyas Puja offerings. And in this particular offering they have mentioned a very nice section. One particular ISKCON center sent this. They say, "We beg at your feet that we may always focus our attention on the three most important principles that sustain us and help us advance properly. That is Namaruchi, taste for the holy name, Jivadaya, compassion for the conditioned souls, and Vaishnava Seva, service to the Vaishnavas. We have no power to do one properly without doing the other two, because each sustains the other two." So while thinking about this concept of compassion, of course, giving the holy names to the conditioned living entities in this material world, it would be the highest compassion. But it is not always that a living entity or a person on the street can appreciate the power of the holy name or is in a position to appreciate the power of the holy name or the gift that he is receiving in the form of the holy name or the compassion that is being extended towards that living entity is not really appreciable by the living entity. So therefore we have this aspect wherein this jivadaya we can, like it says in English, there is some saying which to the effect that you cannot preach to a hungry man. Somebody who is hungry, on a more basic level he has some other need. We cannot explain philosophy, we cannot explain the power of the holy name and the compassion which we are extending or the devotees are extending to such a person. So therefore, I was reading this book by His Holiness Satsvarup Das Goswami Maharaj about Vaishnava compassion, which he begins with a very nice poem. I'll just read a small section from the poem and that will form a major direction of what I'm going to speak. He says, "Compassion isn't only giving people spiritual knowledge by selling them a book or telling them about Krishna. I mean, that's the end of it. But it includes plain old help, food, money, care for people, and not for the fools out there, but our own people too. It means while delivering meals to a woman whose baby lies in the hospital, or sharing confidences while someone struggles with themselves, we apply the greatest balm to any person in any condition, the balm of devotional service to Bhagavan, to reach out with that. So, very nice concept, actually. Satsvarupa Das Goswami Maharaj writes that it's not just, I mean, in one way, it is the highest, giving the holy name. But as he says here, that while delivering meals to a woman whose baby lies in the hospital, or sharing confidences with someone, or sharing confidences while someone struggles with themselves, while doing all this, we apply the greatest balm to any person in any condition. And that is the balm of devotional service to Bhagavan. So, of course, Satsvarupa Das Goswami Maharaj, one of the earliest associates of Srila Prabhupada in the West, he had a great ideal in front of him, and that is the behavior of, or the activities of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada to look at and to be inspired by. So, if we look at the activities of Srila Prabhupada, he actually embodied this aspect of Jivdaya, of giving the highest to the people who are least qualified, and at the same time doing it in such a way that it would be readily acceptable to all of them. Like Srila Prabhupada, his main purpose in going to the West was to give love of Godhead to all the people in the English-speaking world. But when he reached there, in fact, before going from here itself, he had prepared his mind about what he may find, what he may not find. So, he was not sure whether he will be able to get necessary ingredients to continue his regular meal or the sort of diet that he was accustomed to here in India. And so he was carrying with him a short supply of dal, a little rice, and all those things when he went. So, we can see from the very first place where Srila Prabhupada visited in America, at Butler, Pennsylvania, Srila Prabhupada could easily recognize that these people in the West, where he was now attempting to implant the love of Godhead, or rather to accomplish what his spiritual master had asked him to accomplish. But then he saw that the standard of the people in front of him was not such that he could directly talk to them about the holy name and the highest level of holy name to take them beyond the cycle of birth and death. So what did he do? From the very beginning, when he was staying with Gopal and Sally Agarwal, he was always pushing them in that direction, but in a very subtle way. Like Gopal Agarwal, he recalls that his intent was not to have you change your way of life. He wasn't telling anybody that they should be vegetarian or anything. All he wanted you to do was to follow what you are, but be better. He didn't stress that we should give up many things. And Sally Agarwal recalls more vivid examples. She says, when he cooked, he used only one burner. The bottom level pot, I mean, Prabhupada used to cook with his multi-tiered cooking pots. The bottom pot created the steam and all that. So, Sally Agarwal, she recalls that usually before Prabhupada came to their place, she used to serve Gopal, her husband, just one sandwich for breakfast. And then she would come, I mean, for breakfast, and then again for lunch it would be the same thing. But now she remembers For about a week, he was cooking this great big lunch, which was ready about 11:30, and Gopal always came home for lunch about 12. She recalls that, "I used to serve Gopal a sandwich, and then he would go back to work. So just one sandwich for lunch, and he would go back to work. But it didn't take me long to realize that the food the Swami was cooking, we would enjoy too. So he started cooking that noon meal for all of us, and we enjoyed it so much." So as Gopal Agarwal says, not so much pressure about what you can do, what you cannot do. But in his own way, so every day he would have this big feast, and everything was great fun. We really enjoyed it. And also, as much as possible, he would engage others in this particular activity. I would help him cut the things. He would spice it, and we would laugh. Like he was my father-in-law. I really felt like a daughter to him, even in such a short time, like he was my father-in-law. So, at this first instance, we see Prabhupada in Butler, Pennsylvania. He is engaging in these activities. And then he moved to New York at Dr. Mishra's yoga studio. So again, we have the memories of Dr. Ramamurthy Mishra. He says, "His Holiness Prabhupada Bhaktivedanta Goswamiji really knocked me down with love. He was really an incarnation of love. My body had become a skeleton, and he really brought me back to life. His cooking, and especially his love and his devotion to Lord Krishna. I was very lazy in the matter of cooking, but he would get up and have ready. It was not bread he gave me. He gave me prasadam. This was life, and he saved my life. At that time, I was not sure I would live, but his habit to eat on time, whether I was hungry or not, that I very much liked. He'd get up and say, 'All right, this is Bhagavat Prasadam.' And I would say, 'All right.'" So again, we see that another person recalling the Prasadam which Prabhupada served him. And Prabhupada understanding that initially, instead of giving directly the ultimate message which he had come to deliver, if you could extend that same compassion in another form, which would be more readily agreeable and acceptable to the living entities, then slowly those living entities will become ready to accept the message which he had brought for them by the purificatory power of the prasadam, the influence of the prasadam on their consciousness. Later, when Srila Prabhupada moved to the Bowery, again, one devotee or one acquaintance at that time, Carol Baker, she recalls, "He would cook daily, and sometimes we would come by to learn the secrets of cooking for Lord Krishna. He used to cook with us in the kitchen, and he was always aware of everyone else's activities in addition to his own cooking. He knew exactly how things should be done." So, here, His Holiness Satsvarup Das Goswami Maharaj, he writes that Srila Prabhupada was translating Srimad Bhagavatam into English at that time when he was at the Bowery, and speaking to the world through his Bhaktivedanta purports. His duty, whether on the 14th floor of a Riverside Drive apartment building or in the corner of a Bowery loft, was to establish Krishna consciousness as the prime necessity for all human beings. So, he was engaged in the ultimate welfare activity for all humanity, but at the same time, he was packaging it such a way that it would be easily acceptable for all the living entities. Another instance, Srila Prabhupada is, now we are currently reading during our prasadam time from Lilamrit, and there we were hearing about Karl Jurgens. He had an interest in Sanskrit, learning Sanskrit. So Srila Prabhupada said, okay, you want to learn Sanskrit? I will teach you Sanskrit language. And in the course of teaching the Sanskrit language, what actually he was doing was he was teaching them the alphabet of the Sanskrit language, and every day he used to give them one shloka from Bhagavad Gita to transcribe and transliterate into Sanskrit, and then from that into the Roman script, and then he would give them the translation which they would be asked to learn. So basically, again, we see this Prabhupada, I mean these young people who came to him, they may have regarded these lessons as Sanskrit lessons, but actually they were bhakti classes. This is what Satsvarup Das Maharaj writes. He had not come to America as the ambassador of Sanskrit. His Guru Maharaj had ordered him to teach Krishna consciousness. But since he had found in Karl and some of his friends a desire to investigate Sanskrit, he encouraged it. Then when he moved to 26 Second Avenue in New York, he said that the love feast should become an important part of ISKCON. As he had explained many times, food offered to Krishna becomes mercy, and whoever eats the prasadam receives great spiritual benefit. Prasadam means mercy. So these Sunday love feasts, and even during other days also, Srila Prabhupada would regularly cook prasadam, breakfast and lunch, and anybody could walk in and, you know, participate in the breakfast prasadam or lunch prasadam. And it came to such an extent that the city police people, they would routinely collect all the bums and the drug addicts who were lying in parks all over the place. They had no place to go, no food, and they would drop them outside 26 Second Avenue. And when they would walk in, whatever breakfast or lunch prasadam was being served, they will also partake of that. And for many of them, it would be the first proper meal in a very long time. So even Allen Ginsberg, he comments that the early morning kirtans were a very good way to stabilize your re-entry after a trip from LSD. So he said, he had this comment to make at Haight-Ashbury. So it was so much popular, people would understand that the kirtan along with the prasadam which followed was something which would really work wonders for their consciousness. And also you could see the other, I mean, this is in the West, but the famous story of Srila Prabhupada, he saw the small children in Mayapur, they were fighting with the dogs in the garbage dump over whatever scraps of food were left. And when he saw that, the outpouring of compassion resulted in what we know today as food for life. And statistically, I was just trying to find out, there are more than five people who receive a plate of prasadam somewhere in all over the world every second, served out by Food for Life. Every second, all over the world, there are at least five people who receive a plate of prasadam as of today. So we can see how much this compassion, outpouring of compassion. So this Jivdaya, as I just read from that particular offering, compassion, where they say that all of them are mutually dependent on each other. Jivdaya, Vaishnav Seva and Namaruchi. So we see also that how much this Jivdaya actually later on it naturally translates into Vaishnav Seva. So we have this pastime from Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Raghunath Das Goswami, he attempts to leave his home and meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu so many times. And he is very much frustrated in all his attempts. So one time, in the course of his business activities for his father, he happens to be at Panihati, where Nityanand Prabhu is also there. So Raghunath Das Goswami goes to meet Nityanand Prabhu, and when he sees Nityanand Prabhu feeling himself very naturally unqualified to closely associate with the Lord, he offers obeisances to Nityanand Prabhu from a distance. So at that time, one of the associates of Nityanand Prabhu, he points out to Raghunath Das Goswami and tells Nityanand Prabhu, "There is Raghunath, he is offering obeisances to you." So when Nityanand Prabhu sees Raghunath Das Goswami offering obeisances to him from a distance, he asks him to come closer. So when he comes closer, he says, "Why are you offering obeisances from a distance like a thief and trying to just escape? Why you didn't come forward?" So therefore, now because of this particular act which you have done, you will have to feed all the Brahmanas present here, everyone, a feast of Chida Dahi. So Raghunath Das Goswami is very overjoyed. He is naturally very happy to perform this service. Being a Vaishnav, this particular service which he is getting to serve other Vaishnavas is so much acceptable or so much agreeable to his heart that he becomes really overjoyed, and he engages all his wealth to this particular service which he has received from Nityanand Prabhu. And there are so many Brahmanas and Vaishnavas from all over the place, they are there, and everybody is very happily honoring this prasad of Chida and Dahi. And at that time, pleased by this particular activity of Raghunath Das Goswami, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally appears there to partake of this offering of Chida Dahi. So, at the end of this particular pastime, Nityanand Prabhu calls Raghunath Das Goswami near him, places his lotus feet upon Raghunath Das Goswami's head, and he says, "Tumi eka raila yei pulina bhojan, tomaya kripakari gaura kaila agaman." So he says, "Tumi eka raila yei pulina bhojan. Since you arranged this feast on the banks of the Ganges, therefore, tomaya kripakari gaura kaila agaman. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came here just to show his mercy, to bestow his mercy upon you." Then he says, "Kripakari kaila chida dugda bhojan, nritya dekhi ratye kaila prasada bhakshan." By his causeless mercy, he ate the chipped rice and milk. Then after seeing the dancing of the devotees at night, he took his supper. "Toma uddharite gaura aila apane, chutila tomara yata vignadi bandhane." Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gaur Hari, came here personally to deliver you. Now rest assured that all the impediments meant for your bondage are gone. So, by following these instructions given by Nityanand Prabhu to serve all the Vaishnavas by feeding them profuse quantities of chida and dahi, Raghunath Das Goswami was able to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and ultimately he was united with the Lord. Nityanand Prabhu assures him that very shortly you will be able to, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came here personally to give you mercy, and very shortly you will be able to get free from your bondage and unite with the Lord. So, by compassion, jivdaya, Vaishnav seva, and automatically then the mercy of the Lord is attracted by any individual, and therefore when the Lord's mercy is there upon the living entity, then obviously there is going to be taste for the holy names. And in the vein, in the mood of this particular purport, it's mentioned that whenever there is a ceremony for distribution of prasad, the prasad is offered first to the brahmanas, then to the children and old men. So again and again, twice in this particular purport, Srila Prabhupada has emphasized that the process is, we must first offer prasad to the brahmanas and the vaishnavas. So we have again this pastime from Chaitanya Charitamrita of Advaita Acharya. Advaita Acharya, he is such a high, he is born in such a high family, a very respected Brahman in society. And not only that, when he performs the Shraddha ceremony at his place, what he does, understanding this particular concept, he offers this first Shraddha Patra to Srila Haridas Thakur. So even before that, when Haridas Thakur comes to Shantipur, so at that time he used to go to beg alms to the house of Advaita Acharya. So every day Advaita Acharya would feed Srila Haridas Thakur. So one time Haridas Thakur asked him, Maha Maha Viprayetha Kulina Samaj Niche Adara Karana Vasah Bhayalaj. You are living within a society of great brahmanas and aristocrats, but without shame, you adore a lower class man like me. You feed me every day and you give me so much honor, so much prestige. You feed me, and even though you are living in a society of great brahmanas, you are not afraid that others, what others will say and all this. He says, Alaukika achara tomar kahite pai bhai, sei kripa kariba yate mora raksha hoy. My dear sir, your behavior is uncommon. Indeed, sometimes I am afraid to speak to you. But please favor me by protecting me from the behavior of society. So, in response to this, Advaita Acharya says, Tumi khaile haya koti brahmana bhojan, etabali shraddha patra karaila bhojan. So, feeding you is equal to feeding 10 million brahmanas, Advaita Acharya said. And therefore, accept this shraddha patra. So, in the purport to this verse, Srila Prabhupada says, Shraddha is prasadam offered to the forefathers at a certain date of the year or month. So, this act by Sri Advaita Acharya proves that Haridas Thakur was always situated in an exalted position, transcendental position, and therefore always greater than the most exalted Brahmana. So, even though externally, from an external point of view, Haridas Thakur was born in a low family, his birth was in a low family, but still, because of his being the Namacharya, even Mahaprabhu elevated him to the position of Namacharya, Advaita Acharya honors him and says, it is my great fortune that I am able to offer this Shraddha Patra to you. And so therefore we see that whenever even Srila Prabhupada's father, he would always invite people to his place. And what would be his ultimate prayer to them? Please bless that my son will become a devotee of Srimati Radharani. So this particular duty of the ideal family life, person in an ideal family life, which is discussed in this particular purport, that is to distribute prasad, we can see that it is, even though it is prasad is not just distributing some food or some foodstuffs, but we are actually distributing the mercy of the Lord. And for somebody who understands the potency of the prasadam, it acts faster. But nevertheless, even if somebody doesn't understand, it is going to act. And slowly, over a period of time, definitely that person, even if he doesn't become a devotee chanting 16 rounds, but will develop a very favorable attitude towards this movement of Krishna consciousness. One of the examples which comes to my mind is Steve Jobs. He is a founder and chairman of Apple Computers. And in a recent interview, he was saying that when I used to study when I was in college, at that time I was penniless. And I used to always go to the neighborhood Hare Krishna temple, and the lunch that they used to serve there that sustained me during all those hard years when I really didn't have any money. And that recollection still strikes in his mind, and he has a very favorable outlook towards the Hare Krishna movement. One point which Prabhupada makes here about distribution to Brahmanas. So, I would just like to mention here that who is a Brahmana basically? Like we see Advaita Acharya, even though Srila Haridas Thakur was born apparently in a low class family, but still Advaita Acharya honors him by offering the Shraddha Patra. So therefore, in the Garuda Puran we see verse Brahmana Nam Sahasrebhya Satrayaji Vishishyate. A Brahmana qualified to offer sacrifices is better than an ordinary Brahmana, someone who is just born in a family. And better than such a Brahmana is one who has studied all the Vedic scriptures. And among many such Brahmanas, one who is a devotee of Lord Vishnu is the best. And among many such Vaishnavas, one who fully engages in the service of the Lord is best. So, Lord Krishna says again in Garuda Puran, even if a non-devotee comes from a Brahmana family and is expert in studying the Vedas, he is not very dear to me. Whereas even if a sincere devotee comes from a low family of meat eaters, he is very dear to me. Such a sincere, pure devotee should be given charity, for he is as worshipable as I. And the final stamp Srila Prabhupada puts on this particular issue of who is a Brahmana or who is, you know, worthy of real high worship is in the first canto. Srila Prabhupada is discussing in one of the purports about Suta Goswami. Srila Prabhupada writes that Suta Goswami did not take his birth in a Brahman family. He was born in a family of mixed caste or an uncultured low family. But because of high association like Sri Sukadeva Goswami and the great rishis of Naimisharanya, the disqualification of inferior birth was washed off. So this, Prabhupada says, the verse definitely proves that Sukadeva Goswami did not refuse to teach Suta Goswami about the transcendental science, nor did the sages of Naimisharanya refuse to hear lessons from him because of his inferior birth. This means that thousands of years ago, there was no bar to learning or preaching the transcendental science because of inferior birth. The rigidity of the so-called caste system in Hindu society became prominent within only 100 years or so, when the number of Dvijabandhus or disqualified men in the families of higher castes increased. So, Srila Prabhupada, one time, one of his disciples, when he was in Vrindavan, he came back very excited. This disciple was visiting all the temples of the Goswamis in Vrindavan, and this disciple came back very excited to Srila Prabhupada, and he said that, "Prabhupada, today I was visiting this particular temple, and the pujari there, he told me that if I continue to follow all the principles and chant Hare Krishna, then maybe in my next life I will take birth in one of the Goswami families in Vrindavan, and I will be able to worship the deities here." So Srila Prabhupada told him, "You go back to that person and tell him that if he continues to do his deity worship properly in this entire lifetime, then next lifetime he will get an opportunity to take birth in the West and be a part of the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he will be able to get an opportunity to chant the holy names of the Lord." So, this particular thing about the so-called caste system, that is basically why nowadays all this concept about feeding the Brahmanas and all these things, whenever you tell somebody, so the general response is, "Okay, kya, kitna lagega? How much will be the cost? You tell me, I'll just pay the money and that's it. I don't want to get involved in all this." Because generally people don't have this particular faith or this particular the understanding that feeding a Brahmana, because as Prabhupada says here, that it is mostly because of because mostly nowadays Brahmana means somebody who is born in a Brahman family, rather than somebody who actually displays or exhibits the quality of a Brahmana. So therefore, nowadays this particular concept which is being discussed here, that offer prasad, distribute prasad. Even in fact, at one time in India, the thing was Atithi Devo Bhava. So every grihastha or every householder would be ready for a person, Atithi. Somebody who is, a guest. Atithi means somebody who comes in without any advance notice. Atithi. He doesn't say that I am going to come on this particular tithi or this particular date. Just drops by. So every grihastha was expected to be ready to receive such a person, offer them prasad. But down the line, after some times, we have seen that usually instead of Atithi Devo Bhava, the concept became Shubh Labh. If it is something which is going to be of profit to me, then okay, it is something auspicious which is coming towards me. Some profit is coming, some Labh is coming, so it is an auspicious thing. And even further now, we find it is beware of dogs outside the gate. It's written right outside the gate. So there's no question of some atithi or some person to come inside and, even attempt or dare to ask you. So that is the situation. So therefore, what we are seeing here, Prabhupada is writing to distribute prasad to all living entities. The process is that we must first offer prasad to the Brahmanas and the Vaishnavas, for the demigods are represented by the Brahmanas. So this is a very important aspect, but somehow it is being, devotees, we know within our society, Prabhupada instituted it as a very important part. Even Srila Rupa Goswami mentions it as one of the six loving exchanges among devotees, Bhungte Bhojayate Chaiva. So it is a very important aspect, and as much as we can engage in that, not only to the Brahmanas, Vaishnavas, but all the living entities, even we can use it as an effective preaching tool. Like even in the West, they have this
I know Balram Chandra Prabhu, they have a food distribution program on many college campuses. And I think it is University of Florida. Since the past more than 15 or 20 years, it's a non-stop. It has never stopped. Since past 15, 20 years, they have this. And so much people have benefited from it. Many people have become devotees. Not only that, if not devotees, at least slowly they appreciate the activities of the devotees. And thereby, we can ultimately give them the ultimate instrument of compassion, that is the holy names. So, with that I will stop, and I think we are already about time. So, we won't have any time for questions. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Grantra Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.